And a very pleasant good morning, everyone. I hope you're as excited as I am. Are you? I mean, can you believe we get to do this? By being here this morning and bringing God the glory due His name and worshiping His name, you are saying to Him, this is the most important thing I'll do all week. This starts off everything. This will inspire me and propel me through all those seemingly eternal meetings this week and through the tasks I don't look forward to at work or cutting down that tree in the back. But all of that is rooted in our worship here. And I'm so glad Andy read that Isaiah came right out and said, "And my house shall be called a house of prayer." Here's a fun exercise for you, just a little bit of homework. Don't worry, it won't take but a few hours. Go through the scriptures. You pick the book. Go through the scriptures and circle all the times God's house or the temple or the church where the word prayer was in it, a house of prayer. Two men were going up to the temple to pray. Yes, even take a look in the Gospels where Jesus calls his first prayer meeting. It's in Gethsemane, and he asks the disciples to watch and pray. And what happens? Yeah, the prayer meeting totally bombs. The guys just go, they get in a food coma, and they just go right to sleep. I love it that the Holy Spirit put that in there, because that's encouraging to us if our prayer meetings. Do you ever have a prayer meeting and only three people show up? Well, so did Jesus, okay. However, he then turns around and he tells them, okay, now guys, go into Jerusalem and wait for power from on high. It was a 10-day prayer meeting that he called them to. Just sit there, wait and pray, and watch what happens. Now, what was the difference? The difference was the Spirit came. The Spirit showed up. It is the Spirit who helps us pray. So if you're ever struggling with prayer, the first thing you ought to ask God for is the Spirit. Lord, would you send the Spirit? I need help. I'm going to sleep. I'm losing my joy. I'm losing my excitement. I need help praying. Please send your helper. Amen? Oh, good. Now, you look like a lively bunch today, as lively as I've ever known you. So let's ask him, shall we? Oh, Father, before we look at your glorious word, would you just send your Spirit with just a refreshing greatness upon us? Lord, would you open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law? Oh, Father, would you re-energize us with a fresh vision of yourself? Oh, Lord, would you enable us to serve you this day with whatever you ask of us? Because whatever you ask of us this day, Lord, we're all in. We are all yours. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just wanted to share with you this idea about the house of prayer having intercessory prayer as its center. And you know what intercessory prayer is, don't you? It's when you pray and you're not asking anything for yourself. You are completely focused on making a case for someone else, right? So you're not praying for yourself. You're praying for someone else. And what the scriptures do behind the passage that we're going to read in just a minute is they say that when you do this, make your case. Argue your case. Did you know God loves it when you argue? No, not with your spouse. But when you come with him and you've thought through this, Lord, would you consider my friend Jennifer? Lord, would you consider Richard, your servant? Lord, would you, and he even says, you can get rude if you want to, pound the door at midnight, yell up to the window, the open window, and wake up anyone who's in the house. Okay, guys, that's Jesus saying, guys, you're going to think you're being rude, but you're not. He's basically saying, I want to see that kind of passion. Amen? Because here's what the scripture says, and I'm going to be reading out of Hebrews 7, starting at verse 22. And the author of Hebrews is making this case that we have a new high priest in the Lord Jesus. And he says, this makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Did you get that? Hello? Did you get that? What is the Lord Jesus doing right this very minute? Three guesses and the first two don't count. Yes, he is seated at the right hand of his Father. And yes, you're good Presbyterians. If I were to ask you, what's he doing at the right hand of the Father? You would say, well, Bob, that's easy. He's executing the eternal decrees of the Father. He's doing it perfectly because he rules the universe. Amen? And we would all say three cheers, hallelujah. But let me tell you what else he's doing. He's making intercession for you and for me and for the other saints throughout the earth. He's making a case for you. He is standing up for you. He lives for this. It's why I exist, he would say. I live to make intercession. And then the author of Hebrews says, for it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest as the Lord Jesus, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily. First for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. Okay, Bob, that all sounds great. I've drifted a little bit there, buddy, but it's okay. I know you're going to tell me what's going on. Good. I'm glad you asked for that. So what the writer is doing is he is contrasting the Levitical high priests with the Lord Jesus as the supreme high priest. Okay? And he's just basically pointing out that the Levitical high priest, they were a bunch of guys. The Lord Jesus is one. And that these bunch of guys, they don't serve forever because, well, they die. Pretty simple. You know, you can't serve forever if you die. Ah, but the great high priest will never see death again. He died once and for all, and he lives. These bunch of guys had to offer sacrifices daily. The Lord Jesus, not so. He's already offered the sacrifice. It still holds. These bunch of guys, they had to first offer sacrifice for their own sins. The Lord Jesus, not so. He has no sin. He has nothing to confess. He was holy and innocent. These other guys, they had to offer up animals, the blood of goats and cows. The Lord Jesus offered up his own blood. He offered up himself. And so he enters the high place, the holy place, completely on his own. And when he goes in there, guess who is on his mind? That's our Savior. He's living. He's praying for me right now. He's praying for you. He's praying for believers who are hiding out in their basements in Jerusalem right now. He's praying for the people of Jakarta, his own people. He's praying. Amen? And you stand in this great place of privilege, and it is all because he's just being very, very nice to you. That's my interpretation of the Apostle Paul saying, it's all to the praise and the glory of his grace. See, this grace in which we stand. Amen. Three cheers. Do you have goosebumps? Is it just me? Whoo, I got you. Yes. You see, boy. Oh, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. I thank you for the goosebumps, but would you help me get back on track? Oh, yes. Amen. So if he's making prayer for us right now, what kinds of things is he praying for? So I love, by the way, I love your intercessor sheet. Do you take that home and refer to it during the week? Anybody? Everybody's now looking at their shoes. Would you do that? Would you just stick it in your Bible? And would you pull it out sometime this week and go, so Father, here are all these needs. It is an honor to be called to join you, Lord Jesus, in intercession. Whom should I pray for first? What case should I make? And then watch for the story of what he does. Okay, would you do that for me? Or would you at least be nice enough to nod your head? Because I'll never know. Because I'm telling you, when the church begins to pray, you're actually joining the Lord Jesus as he prays. So it's the one time you get to go right up behind Jesus and join him in what he's doing throughout the universe. Amen? Amen? My house shall be called a house of prayer, and I live to make intercession. So he's joining us to come and make a case. Okay, what's he praying? I think first thing he's praying, there are actually several, and we don't have time, so I just pulled out three of my faves. Is that okay? Because I know you want to go to lunch. And the Steelers are playing today, and they too need your intercession. But we'll get to that later. I think the first thing he's praying for us, at least that's on my favorite list, is he's praying that you and I will intimately know what he calls the fullness of God. Can I say that again? He's praying that you and I will intimately know what he calls the fullness of God. And you're probably thinking, well, Brother Bob, that just sounds like great reverend speak. But I have no idea what that means. Paul reveals it as Paul is writing the book of Ephesians. And you know, at the end of chapter 3, he breaks into this amazing intercessory prayer. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. Okay, this is a hint. On the test, watch for the persons of the Trinity. And this will tell you something about the fullness of God. So Paul says, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family on heaven and earth derives its name, that he, the Father, may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit. See? So he's praying to the Father that the Spirit will come, strengthen them, so that Christ may dwell in you in your inner being. You see all three persons? And you see this pattern in Paul. He's praying to the Father to send the Spirit so that they might know the presence of Christ. Amen? That's the fullness of God. That's what begins to flow out from us, from our church. Amen? And that's where he comes to the point of saying, if you'll begin to do this, if you'll begin to think the fullness of God, all three persons of the Trinity, each doing according to what he does, then we will have this great strength. Now, don't be surprised if joy levels go way up, confidence in God levels go way up, faith goes up, when you begin to pray with the sense of the fullness of God. And that's where he says, and guys, this is Paul speaking, folks, get ready. What you are going to see, if you stay awake, if you don't go sleep at the wheel, if you watch what God does after your prayer meetings in your church, after your intercessory prayer times, if you'll pay attention and watch what God does, you're going to go, wow, he really can do so much more than I could ever imagine, ask, or think. Amen? Amen? See, this was the fruit of the great prayer meetings. I'm actually researching this for a book. What these great prayer meetings throughout the centuries in the history of the church did. Now, I'm talking about prayer meetings that would go 2 and 3 hours, but they felt like 20 minutes. Do you know what I'm talking about? You ever been at a prayer meeting like that? Whoo! My wife and I went to one. I'll not tell you the church, okay? Just because I don't know, I like to tease you. But we had to get on an airplane and go to this prayer meeting. And I've been wanting my wife to go to this prayer meeting for years. Honey, you gotta go. You gotta see this. And she just very sweetly puts up with me. But we walked into this prayer meeting. It was on a Tuesday night. And we walked in. You have to get there about an hour early or you won't get a seat. There were 800 people in that room there for the purpose of intercession. And we walked in. And I bet I didn't get from here to the tuba before she said, my goodness, what is it? What, I feel something in this room. What is this? And I said, honey, that's the presence of Christ when God's people get together and begin to celebrate a house of prayer. And I said, honey, can you believe we get to be here? She said, no. And let me tell you, we went through it was about a 2-hour prayer meeting. And, she just leaned in and said, honey, can we just move here? This is real. Everybody, I just want you to hear. This is real. Begin to, if you don't have it, and I don't know, but just pray that God will deepen your heart and your church to be a house of prayer in the fullness of the reality of the Father sending the Spirit to make known the presence of Christ. Watch faith and joy and asks go way up. Watch prayer stories go. And this is really an amazing thing, because as you do this, you'll be joining the Lord Jesus in his intercession. Amen. 3 cheers. Hallelujah. I know we're Presbyterians, but is it okay if I get excited? You won't mind that, will you? Another thing that I think he's praying for us is not only to know the fullness of God in full reality, but I think another thing he's praying for is he's praying for our faith. Do you pray for faith? Do you ask for faith? Anybody? Can I have? Oh, good. A couple of us? Three, four? Yay! Everybody else, start asking God for faith. Start asking him to give you a heart of belief. Because unbelief is big today in our world. It's all over the place. You can breathe it in the air. And the church gets infected by it. Start asking for faith. Lord, I'm jealous for faith. Lord, can I have that God-marveling faith where Jesus stopped and told everybody, hey, everybody, you see this Roman centurion? This is what I'm looking for. And he's not even from the house of Israel. He's not even one of us. That would be like you saying, he's a Raiders fan. Pray for that faith. Ask him for faith. And watch what he loves it when you ask for faith. because without faith, it is impossible to please him. Jesus even left a whole region of people because he saw unbelief was so far gone, was so run amok, that he just had to leave. So ask for faith for me and my household, faith in my church, faith in my work, my life, my walk. Amen? And here's how he said it to Peter. He said, Peter, I'm praying for your faith. This is Bob Allum's paraphrase. I'm praying for your faith, but you need to know something. Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat. And I'm praying that your faith may not fail. Now, here's what's interesting about that. When Jesus said Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat, he's saying Satan has demanded to violently shake you. You know how much you don't like somebody coming up and shaking you. You know how much you don't like the airplane shaking on final approach. Satan wants to shake you. He wants to disturb you, mess with your head, get you up. You know what I'm saying? All right? You with me? You know? That you is plural. What does that tell you? The very same Satan that wants Peter wants to shake you. And how do you meet that? What's the Lord Jesus praying for you? For your faith. See, I think the Lord Jesus is praying for our protection from Satan's devices and his attacks. Amen? So I'm praying you'll know the fullness of God. I'm praying you'll know protection by greater faith. And then one more thing, because I've got to stop. I know. I'm going way too long. But thank you for indulging me. I think another thing he's praying for is the unity of the church in glorifying God. Amen. Do you pray for your church? Do you pray for your church? Oh, good. Thank you. Does everybody pray for your church? If so, why not? You see it in the high priestly prayer of John 17. Who does Jesus pray for first? Himself. He basically says, Father, I've been faithful to you in my mission. Secondly, he prays for the guys, the disciples. They have kept thy word. And then he prays for everybody who comes behind the disciples, that he says, I will sanctify them in truth. Make them your own. Everybody, and then what Jesus is excited about in the high priestly prayer is he's saying, Father, this is me kind of interpreting. I'm so glad we're coming to the end of this mission. I'm ready to come home. I'm ready to get back to what we had before I came. And I'm really excited these guys are going to come with me. And the millions after them. Amen? That's you and me. And we're going to have this oneness. Would you begin, if you're not already, would you pray for oneness in your church? Would you pray for unity? Would you pray for common mission? Would you pray to be able to just kind of laugh at each other's flaws a little bit? You know, don't be so offended at things. Just kind of, just enjoy each other. The fullness of God, faith that is your protection against spiritual attack, and praying for your church.
I get so excited. Oh, it's so good stuff. It's so good.
Let me just give you, can I have about 3 more minutes and just get practical on you? Is that okay? Are we all right? I mean, yeah, will lunch stay just 3 more minutes? Will it get cold? I began to sense that there was a call on my life for intercessory prayer, that I was not where I should be, that the Lord wanted to take me deeper and make me more of an intercessor. And as I was praying through this and asking, Lord, what does this mean? What are you asking of me? Whatever it is I'm in, I just need help. I need discipling. How do I become an intercessor that mirrors the work of the Lord Jesus? And some really neat things began to happen. I found that I began to wake up in the middle of the night and someone would just be on my heart. Have you had that? Just we wake up and they're on your mind, and it's not like you just talk to them necessarily. They just kind of came out of the blue. And you couldn't get back to sleep. And so you just got up and you just started praying for them. And you just prayed for them as best as you knew how. Amen? And then what I would find is that my list would grow. I think I've got about 16 people now that I think the Lord is calling me to be an intercessor for. Now, think about this. If Jesus is an intercessor and he lives to make intercession, doesn't it just make sense that you would be an intercessor? I mean, he's got a lot of people to pray for. And you could join him in 16 of them. Is this great? Is this amazing? Oh, sorry, I had a joy attack. And if you don't know, if they're just on your heart, and you don't know how to pray for them, guess what? He'll send a helper if you'll invite him and ask him. And who is the helper? Romans 8. The Spirit. The Spirit will come and help you pray for that brother or that sister or that friend or that lost family member. So then ask, so Father, would you send your Spirit? This person's on my heart. I'm feeling a burden for them. Would you send your Spirit to help me pray? Help me make a case for them. And then I found it helps to ask these questions. What's that person going through? Or what's it like to be that guy? What is he facing? What's there? Lord, what are you asking here? I think another neat thing that, this is just all practical, and you don't have to do any of this if you don't want. But another thing is, it dawned on me, Bob, get a journal and put that person's name just on the top of one page. You know, John, all right? John Smith, I'll just make up a name. John Smith. And then as you sit there and reflect on these questions, what's John going through? What's my brother doing? Where does he need help? Where does he need faith? Where does he... You know, and you just write quick words, phrases, kind of like what we teach in a prayer card, only now you have a whole page. And you just kind of focus on that person and reflect on that person, and then just slip into prayer. And then ask the Spirit, are there certain passages I should be praying for this person? And if something comes to mind, check it out. If not, give the Spirit space. Amen? Just kind of get in and begin to be practical at this. And then watch for the stories to happen. So, before I tell you this real quick. As you watch for the stories to happen, don't be surprised if you tell people you're praying for them and they don't believe you. I found this out. This is so true. Hey, I just want you to know, I think God is calling me to be an intercessor for you. Oh, thanks, Bob. You rock, dude. But then they never give you. No, I'm serious. I'm praying for you. And I'm trying to pray for you every evening and every morning. I'm imperfect. I miss. But I really believe one of the reasons I exist is I am one of your watchmen on the wall. I'm one of your intercessors. And what will happen is, over time, people will begin to share the story a little more. They'll just kind of trust you a little more. And as they share the story, you can get deeper and more powerful in your praying. And then what happens is they're going to call you with the prayer story. Amen? Does that make sense? So I had one this week. Oh, I got to tell you, this is so much fun. What time do the Steelers kick off? Can I do this? All right. I just wanted to tell you, I was driving last Christmas Eve, and a young lady who I've been praying for, 37-year-old lady in Arizona, called me and just in tears, "Bob, I hate to bother you on Christmas Eve, but I need you. I was just in a terrible car wreck. My car is totaled. My arm is broken." She's a professional musician. The person who totaled my car doesn't have insurance. I mean, it was just bleak, bleak, bleak. And so we just had a prayer meeting over the phone right there. And I thought, wow, this is deep. That's getting desperate. That's getting dark on Christmas Eve, no less. So we prayed, and I prayed for her throughout the Christmas week, you know, New Year's that week, and then into the new year. And then it turns out she lost her home, okay? She's going through one of these J curves where you descend into suffering before you enter into resurrection. She lost her home. She said, "I have nowhere to go." Now, this is a responsible person. This isn't a careless, you know what I mean? This is somebody who's very, just having really bad breaks come, but by God's hand. And so we began to pray through that. And then we began to pray through her discipleship and her training. And last week, our God is so good, isn't he? She calls me and she goes, "Bob, I got to have you, bud. I need you. Can you get on Zoom?" "Yeah, I'm in, Bonnie. What you got?" You know, so we're on Zoom. And she goes, "I want to show you my house." She owns a house now, all through the work of the Spirit of God, just being very nice to her. "Hey, I want to show you my little car." She has a car now. "Hey," and through prayer time, it occurred to me, start my own music business. Here's my music business, you know. That's our Savior. He cares about cars. He cares about broken arms. He cares about places to live. He's just saying, "I'm praying for you. Hey, come and help me pray for others." Amen. Three cheers. Hallelujah. Right? Does that make sense? Are you excited at all? Like, I can't read your face. Does it sound like something you want to try? Oh, good. Yeah. Just ask him to make you an intercessor. And watch what happens. You're going to be brought into so many neat prayer stories. And your faith is going to go, you know, your confidence in God is going to go up. Your joy level will go up. And watch what he does in all of this. Now, all of this was a little bit of a tangent on me. Can I have one more minute? I said three and I've gone five. Can I have one more? Is that all right? Okay, I promise somebody time me on this. The great prayer meetings throughout the history of the church, they often went for hours because people really came into the church to pray and lay their burdens down. And they prayed with each other. They prayed at the altar. They prayed. And so they would often go for hours because when you enter this kind of a prayer center, you lose track of time. It's almost like you step out of time. It's really kind of cool. And George Whitefield was saying that when he was at Oxford and he would go into these prayer meetings with the Wesley brothers. Now, remember, George Whitefield was a steward. He wasn't of the wealth class, the social class, where he could get into Oxford and study. He had to go as kind of a porter. So he would shine the shoes and straighten the shirts of the wealthier students in his day. And those were the Wesleys, you know. But the Wesleys just loved to pray. You know, they just had these great prayer meetings. And Whitefield said, we would leave after these three-hour prayer meetings, and guess what was on our mind? Anybody want to guess? Guess what we walked away with out of those prayer meetings? How many think it was, "Oh, what wonderful preachers those Wesley brothers are. Oh, what wonderful musicians those guys are. No. Oh, what? You know what Whitfield said? We all left with this one thing on our minds. I wonder what God is going to do. I wonder what God is going to do. I wonder what God is going to do. Lord Jesus, thank you. Oh, thank you that you live to make intercession for us. Lord, would you make us intercessors? Would you make us as much a house of prayer as we can possibly be? We pray, Lord Jesus. Father, would you give us eyes to see the stories that develop? Lord, would you help us be one in this, united in this? Lord, would you protect us from our sworn enemy? Would you give us faith? Would you increase our faith, we pray? Oh, Father, we ask these things in your name, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, would you send your Spirit so that we can know the fullness of Christ and the presence of Christ? Father, we thank you that Christ is for us. But this morning, we pause to thank you, Christ is in us as the intercessor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.